So, we are the North Hill Township Historic District Commission.
Okay.
Our charge is to preserve the township history and structures relating to the township history. And so, being that Northville Psychiatric Township, our job is to preserve the history of mm-hmm. that. Now, it has been, and the township owns the
property.
The property now.
Right.
I'm not going to go through the whole history.
Yeah, I kept track of that.
Yeah, you kept track of it, right. Okay. So the township owns basically the property. And so we had, and I did the presentation there, mm-hmm. and you know what? You can get it from her.
Mm-hmm. He attended the presentation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you were there. That's right. Yeah. I remember you. Yeah, that's right. So we want to, and part of the history is people who worked at the hospital office.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I had asked you to do the oral history.
Sure.
So
we love it when we can get somebody who has your credentials, who was there,
right.
who worked there, has that kind of history and mm-hmm. that kind of longevity, doing what they were doing to really lend authenticity to the information.
Yeah.
Joe,
gives
it
his presentation.
Sure.
So that's why we've asked you to come to it.
Sure. Have you talked with other former employees?
I have not.
Okay.
That one lady that was there with you, I don't know if you remember her.
Yes.
I had not written her. I'd asked her to, I'd get her my card and said, mm-hmm. would you please send me an email? She did not respond.
Yeah.
So I didn't write down her. I'd asked her to send to me,
right.
and she did not send anything. You wouldn't want
Are you interested
me.
In talking with more employees?
Oh, yeah.
We would love to.
Well, love to.
Northville employees have a Facebook group.
Oh, I did not know that.
And I could put something on that to let them know that I did this today and that you're looking
that.
Yeah, and that you're looking for additional employees, former employees, and if they're interested to make contact with you.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. That would be wonderful.
Okay.
What is the?
Well, I need to.
Do you want to just forward me the link, maybe?
I have to put it on because it's
okay.
a closed group.
That's a closed group.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Right. Wonderful.
But I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what did you think of the questions then?
They're very, very good.
I
can respond to most of them mm-hmm. in
right.
some way. Some with more mm-hmm. detail than others, but.
Oh, yeah.
Can give you a start.
And of course, okay. once we get into the conversation, if there's
oh, yeah.
some added interest or, you know, as you mm-hmm. go along that you want to add in there, we're welcome to
sure.
do whatever.
Okay, I'll
That's
be
That's just more to kind of keep us on track to make
mm-hmm.
sure we sometimes we get so interested in stories that we totally lose track of where we are
yeah.
in the conversation and we get done and say, oh, we forgot to ask about this, darn it.
Yeah.
I don't have another one, but sorry.
That's
the one thing I forgot, Joe. I didn't bring paper.
Oh, if you need your pen, because I have a pen.
Oh, my pen you can borrow.
Oh, do you have it?
Yeah, I have
okay,
a pen.
I'm sorry.
I thought you meant my paper,
no,
I was going to say,
no.
I don't have another note card. You can keep that one. I've got more in my purse.
Oh, okay. All right. There we go.
Okay.
We're back.
No, this was
so that was just an introduction to say what who we are and why we had asked you to come today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is typical of historic district operation. So we're basically a historical commission.
Okay.
The term historic district. The state has an operation. Basically, federal says, okay, you can declare historic districts. That's what things are. That Thayer School, which is out on 6 Mile, and Napier, which is the absolute corner of Northville Township, basically, almost,
mm-hmm.
Is what we have declared an historic district means, meaning we can get money from certain operations, certain federal operations, mm-hmm. maybe, to help preserve
mm-hmm.
that. And that's from a national perspective, and it goes down to local operations.
Do you want to copy?
I don't know.
Can I copy
Sure.
And so we want to go through the questions and get information from you about your service there.
Okay.
And then after that, go through some of the videos.
Sure.
Some of the pictures. So that's actually what Thayer School looks like from an aerial perspective. I'm going to shut the door so we don't have ambient noise coming off of the... Thanks, Diane. Can we start?
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
I forgot. We will get this transcribed,
mm-hmm.
and then it copies go to the Northwood District Library and to Mill Race Village. And through the Northwood District Library is available online. Just so you know that. Both the oral history verbally and the oral history transcribed. Just so that you know that.
All right.
So where were you born?
I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. Product of the Detroit Public Schools.
Very nice.
Which school?
Cody.
Cody
High School.
You are my rival. I was Mackenzie.
Mumford over here.
Bob was Cody also.
Where did you complete your degree?
At Western Michigan University, and I received a Bachelor of Science degree in Occupational Therapy.
How did you come to work at Northville Psychiatric?
Well, having been born and raised here, both of us, our families were located in this general area, the metro area of Detroit. And when we got married, we were working in Saginaw because I had a job there. And he was not employed at the time, and he got a job down here, first in Pontiac, but they were moving to Livonia. So we moved back to the area, which meant I had to leave my job. And I saw an ad in the paper for occupational therapists at Northville Psychiatric Hospital. And I applied, and I was hired. And so that's how that came to be.
I just thought of a little something.
Sure.
So had you worked in kind of that type of area or field prior?
When you're, at that time anyways, when you were earning your degree in occupational therapy, you had to do clinical placements. And I did a three-month clinical placement in a VA hospital working in the psychiatric division. And I really, really liked it. And as you talk to people who have worked in mental health, you'll find that they really are devoted to that field. Because you either really, really like it, or it's not your cup of tea, and you don't work in it. And I just found it much more interesting than working in physical rehabilitation, which was the other main area that my placement was in. So when I graduated from high school, I had interviewed at Saginaw County Mental Health Board, which is what it was called at that time. And I know that all the mental health boards have become authorities and changed names and that. But at the time, that's what it was. And my first job was working in an adult treatment center for developmentally disabled adults who are residing at Caro Center, which was also a state-operated hospital. In Caro.
So you knew what you were getting into.
Yes, I did.
And so
well,
you have
kind
a great
of.
Point of reference for us in when we're comparing kind of Northville Psychiatric to what you had already experienced, so that's great.
And in that job, these were the higher functioning DD adults, and they were getting ready to transition into the community, and we were kind of preparing them, we were preparing them to move out of the hospital into the community. And I worked there for about 18 months, and then we moved back down to this area. So between my placement and then also working in Saginaw, I had a background in mental health, although I must say working with the DD population and working with the severe and impaired mentally ill is kind of worlds apart.
DD population?
Developmentally disabled.
Okay.
In the older days, it was mentally retarded. And then now the vocabulary has changed to DD. In fact, I think it's changed again, but I don't know what that is.
Back in the 20s, Wayne County built a home here in Northville Township. It was the home...
Wayne County Training Center?
Yeah, but what was the original name? It was the home for... I'm drawing a complete blank. It was horrible. I'll think of it.
Was that on Sheldon?
Yeah.
Yes.
Between 5 and 6 miles?
Yes.
And then there was Plymouth Human Center for human development.
Yes.
That was on that the very corner.
Right.
Where
yes.
the one I think you're talking about was between, like, it was
a
midway.
Further north, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the beautiful old buildings.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. What was your first impression of the facility, meaning the buildings and the grounds of the...
Well, at the time that
psychiatric hospital.
At the time that I started there, the grounds were beautiful. Oh, and I started December 26th in 1976.
Okay.
Day after Christmas. And the grounds were beautiful. The groundskeeper, he really took pride in the appearance of the hospital and the grounds. The buildings, I was overwhelmed by the number of buildings that were there. I mean, it was quite a complex and very easy to get lost.
Yeah.
And many times employees, you know, they were assigned to a certain building, a certain unit, and they might not have reason to be going to the other areas of the campus. And they really didn't know in some places where certain things were because it was so massive.
Impression of the staff?
The staff, I think, for the most part, were very committed to their jobs and helping the patients that they were working with. I learned very quickly that the nursing staff were vital to the operation of the hospital. And as a therapist, I depended on the nursing staff. You learned quickly that you needed to get them on your side because they could make your job a whole lot easier or they could make it a whole lot harder. And there were many, many different kinds of staff there. The way the hospital was so widespread and laid out is that you were constantly running into staff from other departments. You had not only the nursing staff on the units, but you had social workers and psychiatrists and psychologists, different levels of nursing staffs, the RNs, you had the LPNs, and then the most vital in the nursing department were the resident care aides. They were called RCAs, and they were the ones that worked very closely, most directly with the patients. And they, if you wanted to know what was happening with a patient, you needed to talk to an RCA because they saw them good during the good times and the bad times. They were with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
The name I was trying to remember, excuse me, was the Wayne County Home for Feeble-Minded Children.
Yes.
Yes.
That was its first name.
Mm-hmm.
Which we would basically just call slow learners today, or that was a not today.
Special needs.
Special needs today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. First impression of patients?
Very sick. Just very sick.
Very sick patients.
What you typically find in the state hospitals are your chronic, severely impaired, mentally ill. And these are patients that have been in the system for years and years and years. And they may go out, but they're going to come back in someplace, either in units in your private hospitals or else to state facilities.
So you got the worst of the worst.
The worst of the worst.
Or in prison.
Well, yes, there was a unit, actually two units on the grounds. It was J Building. And they had what we called the forensic patients. And they were the patients who were either not guilty by reason of insanity or else they were incompetent to stand trial. And they had been in the Center for Forensic Psychiatry, which is in Saline. And you'll often hear that when you've got cases that have happened in the news and they're going for psychiatric evaluation, that's where they go. And then when they reach a certain level, the mental health code for Michigan says that you have to treat individuals in the least restrictive environment. Mm-hmm. And that's highly structured there. And so we would be like a step down, Northville would be. And the patients would stay there until they were ready to go on what they call convalescent status. They wouldn't be discharged from the hospital. They would be out of the hospital on contract back out in the community. And this contract would specify very specific things that they had to abide to. And if they violated any of those provisions in their contract, they were immediately pulled back into the hospital.
Okay. So they weren't staying there anymore. They were out in the community. They didn't come back at night or anything. It wasn't kind of any kind of go out and come back. It was they were
right
out there, but if they didn't meet, then they came.
Then they were pulled back in.
Okay.
And usually they were long-term care patients. They were what increased the length of stay data for any of the psychiatric hospitals because they're typically there for maybe 3 years, maybe even longer, before they're able to, and they go before a committee that's at the Center for Forensic Psychiatry to be evaluated to determine whether they can be placed in the community or whether they need to come back or stay.
So it was kind of like parole. You were still under the...
Well, you were still under the jurisdiction of the hospital.
Right.
But you had the freedom to be out in the community, living in a group home. The provisions talked about definitely needing to continue with your psychiatric treatment and going to your clinics and therapy sessions and things like that. But that was all based out in the community.
Just first impressions general. The treatment being used, the drugs? Were you involved in that? Or
When I got there, okay, the hospital, when it closed, had been in operation for, 51 years?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was there for 26 of them, so I was about there for about half of it. And I came in the mid-70s, and at that time they were using what they called the first-generation antipsychotics. And that had been a major turning point when these different drugs had been developed to help the patients control their behavior. And so most of the treatment was based on drug therapy, psychopharmacology. But there were other treatments that were going on. I mean, there were group therapies that are being done by the social worker and the psychologist. The doctors, the psychiatrists saw the patients individually, not for as long as they would have liked, but they did see them on a regular basis. And then you had the occupational therapists, recreational therapists, and for a time there were music therapists also at the hospital. And they ran groups with the patients. And nursing did groups. They did a lot of things oriented to their daily living skills, like making their beds and their grooming and their hygiene, different things along like that. Dietitians ran groups with certain patients based on what their dietary needs were. So there were other things that supplemented the drug therapies, but by and large, the biggest changes in behavior that you were seeing were because of the medications that they were taking.
I see. Okay. Were there nurses living on site, and did you interact with them at all?
I think when I first started there, they still had one of the nursing residents up and running, and that there were nurses living there, but I don't know if I knew of any that were living there or not. I mean, because as far as I saw is that I got to work and there were staff there working, and I didn't necessarily know if they were residing on the grounds or not.
So you didn't know which ones were?
Right.
Where were you living?
I was living, we lived in several places over that
period of time. Police post.
Yeah, we lived in the apartments. They used to be called Innsbruck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Sure. They're some other name now. But when we first moved down from Saginaw, that's where we lived. And then we bought a condo in Highland Lakes. And then we bought a house in Novi, off of Nine Mile and Hagerty. I was so spoiled because I always lived so close to work. And then when the hospital closed, I had a rude awakening because then I had to drive to work.
You may be interested to know that they have finally shut down the gun range.
Oh.
At the state police post. One of our fellow commissioners lives in a line with the gun range.
Oh, no.
And a bullet flew in through his window and into his lobby of his house.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was sufficient, finally, to him.
Is that still a state police post?
It is now the crime lab. Mm.
Okay.
Now, progression of the jobs you went through before you became the activity therapy director.
Okay. I was hired as an occupational therapist, and I worked on two units, a male and a female unit. That was one of the things that during that span of years, staffing went up and down. When I first started, there were five of us that were hired on the same day because they were building up their staffing in the department. At that time, the department that I worked in was called Rehabilitation Services, and it was comprised only of OTs, RTs, rec therapists, and MTs, music therapists. And then gradually over time, they merged with a recreation component of the nursing department, and that's when it became the activity therapy department. And that was like in 1986. But when I first came, I was hired as an OT, and I, as I said, I worked on the units, and I can remember I was at first much more comfortable working on the female unit. I mean, literally, when I had to go on to the male unit, I would stand in front of the door, take a deep breath, put my key in the lock, and go on in. Where I didn't do that with the females. But in time, I found that I much preferred working with male patients than female patients. Female patients, females can be vicious. They're jealous. They got the hormonal thing going on. The males, I always felt that there would be at least one patient that if I got in trouble would come to my rescue.
So initially when you say you paused at the door, was that because more of like a physical thing? Mm-hmm. Like fear of them physically because they were stronger?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess that would be it. It's just, but then yes, they were stronger.
But
yes.
Then you kind of realize, like you said, that one of them would have your back.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
And I did have that experience one time. I worked on two units that were in C North, C Building North End. And
no, that is the...
That's still standing.
That's still standing.
That's the long patient building that was away from...
Right.
To the west of the big tower.
Yes.
Yeah.
And... I forgot what I was going to say.
You're in the north end of the...
And we had treatment rooms that were on the same floor. Do you know how C Building was structured? Okay.
No.
C Building had a north end and a south end.
Okay.
There were four units in each end, two upstairs, two downstairs. And between... are on the same floor as those two units, whether they were up or down, there were two treatment rooms. And those were the rooms that the OTs or rec therapists or music therapists used, so that you could bring the patient off the unit and treat them, but you were still in very close proximity to the unit if you needed some assistance or if a patient had to go back to the unit or something like that. So it worked really well. I always, and most of the therapists too, preferred to bring the patients off the unit because, first of all, there was a higher expectation placed on them that they were coming off the unit, so they better keep it together, or else they won't be going off the unit for a long time.
Oh, okay.
And you can also control your environment better that way. There were certain things that I was able to use with the patients that I couldn't bring onto the unit because they were either too big and cumbersome, or else I couldn't control the environment enough to ensure the safety of the patients and myself and others that were around. So I had this situation one time where I had taken a group of male patients off the unit, and two patients started escalating. And I was trying to diffuse the situation, but it was, and I had called the unit and said, I need some help in here. And it was getting to a point where they were going to come to blows. And it probably was not smart on my part and not the best situation to have going on. But I had to make a choice to turn my back on one of these patients. And I selected the patient that I thought would more or less have my back. And so I turned my back on him. And I was able to get the situation under control when staff from the unit happened or came by. But yeah, you have to make those kinds of decisions. And you know your patients. You're never friends with the patients, but you can establish really good, solid working relationships with them, and that's what you strive to do. And because of this working relationship I had with this one patient, I trusted him enough that I was going to turn my back on him. But those are the kinds of decisions that you have to make, because you never know when something, all of a sudden, the way a patient looks at another patient or what they say to them may just start triggering it.
Okay. So then where did you go from there as far as, again, progression towards?
It was decided that the department was getting large and that they needed closer supervision, and at that time it was just a director of rehabilitation services. So she decided that she wanted to have a couple of what she called area directors. And because we had staff from the department assigned to the units that were in the outbuildings like D, E, G, F, and we had patient or staff assigned to the units in A building and in C building, she asked several staff, and I was one of them that was included in that, if we were willing to be area directors or supervisors. We did not get compensated any differently. Our classification stayed the same. It was kind of an unofficial kind of thing. But she was working on trying to develop the positions so that we would be compensated. And I was in that role for a while. And then finally the promotions or the positions came forth, and those of us that had been in those acting positions were promoted.
To area?
To area directors or area supervisors, I think is what we were called. And then...
Did you then control a certain amount of buildings?
I supervised...
Were you responsible for?
I was responsible for the staff that were assigned to the units that were in A building. So that was my area. Mm-hmm. And we had a treatment area that was on A43 on the fourth floor. And it was the short wing on the fourth floor. The part that stuck out.
Oh, okay.
Was parallel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so did you essentially still do the same job but had additional responsibility of overseeing and tracking the others? Or did you, is it a little bit of a step back of that from what you were doing the one-on-one?
It was a step back because I was supervising the staff that worked directly with the patients.
So getting into more of an administrative and not as much as a patient one-on-one.
Right.
Okay.
And then trying to think what happened next. The director of rehabilitation services, she had to take an extended medical leave and eventually retired. And when she went on leave, then I was asked to be the acting director. And then once she left, I think it was when she left, they did a reorganization, and that's when they pulled the recreation component of the nursing department and combined that with the rehabilitation services staff and created the activity therapy department. And I was the acting director for a period of time. And then eventually I took the test. You had to have in those days anyways, you had to take a civil service test mm-hmm. for the various classifications mm-hmm. and that. And I took the test for that classification. And once I took that test and I had passed it, then I was able to interview for the position and I received it.
When was that? What year?
That was in 1986. No, that was later than that. I became acting director for the combined department in 1986. I don't remember when I became the director.
Age range of the patients you treated?
The age range was from 18 to 60. It was either 60 or 65. And then if there were patients that reached whatever that cutoff age mm-hmm. was, then they went over to Walter Reuther Psychiatric Hospital.
Because they were
the geriatric
patients. Where was that?
That was on Merriman and Michigan Avenue. It was next to Eloise.
Next to Eloise. Okay.
So at the time that you were there, you never had children under 18?
No. There was a young adult division of Northville. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. Mm-hmm. Yes. They were young adults. On their 18th birthday, if they still required hospitalization, they came into the adult section. And the young adults were in M, N, and O buildings. And they had their own separate program. They did not mingle with the adult patients. They had their own school. Mm. It was a whole separate division.
Did you define young adult because the Hawthorne was...
I don't know what the starting age was, and I think it was also had something to do with diagnoses.
So there was some that still would get schooling at the hospital, but they were from the M and O
right.
units.
Right.
Okay.
They had their own school. I mean, because of...
And those children were under 18?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
yeah. There were different laws that applied to the schooling of those, the education of those children, because they were school age.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was classified as special education. I think it was.
So while they were, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm not as familiar with the psych ward as Joe. So... It was basically almost considered separate from the psych,
right?
They were psychiatric hospital, although it was there on the grounds.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. So you could have. So the age range was kind of technically larger than the 18 to 65
right.
because it had the younger, but you didn't consider them to kind of be part of your
right.
main. They were a separate entity of themselves
right.
on the grounds. That's interesting.
Right.
Which makes sense.
MN and all, were they south of the main building? Remember?
Yes.
Big buildings.
Yes.
It faced south.
Right.
Yeah.
You had, it would be to the east, you had D, E, F, G, mm-hmm. and then there was H, I, and J, and K, and L. Yeah, they were more towards, they were closer to the back road that came mm-hmm. in off of Haggerty.
Wayne Road.
Yeah. Wayne. It was called
it's called.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, we have maps.
Yes, I know. There was Michigan Avenue.
So since they were kind of separate, you know that they were schooled, but you probably don't know how they were schooled, they did that. Okay.
No.
Okay. And they treated all range of mental illness?
Severe and persistent mental illness. By and large, the majority of the diagnoses was schizophrenia of some type. Or else, at that time when I first started, it was manic depressive. Now they call it bipolar. Those are the most severe diagnoses, and if you have something less than that, you usually don't end up in a state hospital for treatment. And schizophrenia typically starts in the teenage years. That's when the onsets are, which I think might play into why there was the young adult population that was separate from the Hawthorne population. I think.
That makes sense.
So, you were in charge of the recreation building today?
I was. Yeah. You know, the recreation building didn't... Well, there was history to that. Because it wasn't part of the rehab service department, I'm not real clear on what happened. But it used to be Northville Residential Training Center, and I'm not quite sure what happened in that building when it was under that label. And then...
Originally built as, and started as part of Northville Recreation?
No.
It was a residential training center, and I don't know who it was affiliated with.
I know that Schoolcraft used the gym.
Okay.
But I don't know that they ran the building.
No, I don't think that they did. It was under the state of Michigan, whatever it was.
Okay.
And then when that was discontinued, I know for a while there were offices for Department of Mental Health located in that building.
I'm a little confused here.
Okay.
Do I understand, though, that originally it was under the state?
Yes.
Although built on the property, it was under the state.
Well, the state owned it.
That's
right. They own the hospital.
Right.
I understand now.
Right.
Okay. And then it...
It was in around 1986 when all this change was going on. It was determined that that facility needed to belong to the patients. And that's when I became involved with the building. Because it was part of the activity therapy department.
Okay.
And we ran programming out of there.
Okay, very good. Can you describe the situation in the 80s? I know the hospital lost its accreditation.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 90s, as the funding was reduced and patient population declined.
Okay. Well, yes, the hospital lost its accreditation and certification in the early 80s, which was a devastating blow. In the 90s, yes, funding was reduced, but in the 90s, late 80s and 90s, the population did not decrease. It increased. When I started there, I can't remember how many patients were residing at the hospital. I think it was between 600 and 800.
Okay.
That would be when you started in 76.
Right, in 76. We went up as high as 1,200 patients while I was there. And that was in the late 80s. No, it was probably earlier than that. Probably in the early 80s, around the time we lost our accreditation. Things were so bad that we did not have enough space on the dorms. There was overcrowding on the units with the patients. Oh, yes. In fact, we had so many patients that they set up
beds for the patients in the gym that was in C building. And so they technically had no room or any kind of private, not private space, but their own personal space. Mm-hmm. And that got us into trouble, and we had civil rights infractions because of that. And that's when the hospital went into a consent decree with the Department of Justice, Federal Department of Justice. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know any of that history.
I don't know. It's the first we're hearing.
It was a very bad time.
This was in the 80s?
This was... I have a program from our dissolution of the consent decree, and it was dissolved in 1996, and we had been under it for 10 years. So I guess it was around 1986 that we went under the consent decree. And it was originally because of very specific things, and I can't even... Well, the overcrowding was one of them, and I know lack of treatment was another one. But every time that the federal lawyers would come out for surveys, mm-hmm. to look around, and they were always out there, they would key in on something else that wasn't part of the original decree, mm-hmm. but said that we were in violation of this or that. And that's why it took so long to mm-hmm. come out from underneath it. Mm-hmm. But they would come out periodically with their judges from the lawyers from the Justice Department, and of course Michigan would have its lawyers from the Attorney General's office, and the federal lawyers would bring their expert witnesses, and they would come in and question patients and question staff. It was very nerve-wracking whenever they were coming out. And I can't remember if we had advance notice. I think we usually had a day's notice that they were coming.
So I'm sorry. So when you lost your accreditation, when the hospital lost mm-hmm. its accreditation, in your opinion, or do you know, is it because of the situation that was going on with your overpopulated, and that was basically...
I think that was part of it. I think it was more so... Not necessarily. For accreditation, I don't think they were focusing as much on the increase in the census. I think they were looking more at the treatment that the patients were being provided and said it wasn't adequate. Mm-hmm.
So that would have been an understaffing issue, mm-hmm. probably.
It was. And, of course, in those early 80s, as positions were... left unfilled, I mean, that's what it was. As people left for whatever reason, there was a hiring freeze, and we weren't allowed to fill those positions. So you're taking what you have left and you're just stretching them further and further.
And just escalated, because to your point, unbeknownst to people, you weren't really declining and
right.
you were increasing. And lowering staff.
Yeah.
Never a good situation.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm digging around here because I have a lot of pictures of the recreation building,
mm-hmm.
and I want to show them to you, and I can't find them.
Oh, no. Okay.
Keep digging, Fred.
Keep digging.
Can you describe the wind down to closing?
Yeah.
It was
a very, very sad time. When I started back in 76, there were rumors that Northville was going to close. I mean, so we had been living with rumors for decades. And then it was in early November of 2002, the hospital director called the executive staff together one morning and shared the news that she had just gotten off the phone with Lansing and had been informed that the hospital was going to close the following May. And we just sat there with our mouths hanging open. I mean, it just knocked the wind out of all of us. And she called a hospital-wide meeting in the afternoon to inform the staff of what was happening. And the morale at that point just plummeted. There were a lot of anxieties. People didn't know if they were still going to have jobs. Some staff were going to be able to be transferred to other hospitals. I was one of the fortunate ones. They had had, this was kind of bad too, they had had one of the state big retirement efforts that happened at the end, well, December 31st of 2002. And they had announced it, and I can't remember what month it was in, but people had to file their paperwork and make their intentions known if they were going to fall into this, do take the retirement, or whether they were going to stay. It was an early retirement of sorts. You didn't have to have the usual age. You didn't have to have the usual number of years of service in order to retire. And the cutoff for filing was November 1st or October 31st. And they announced the closing, I think it was November 6th. And I know I had one staff who had just agonized over the decision, should she retire or should she stay? She had two children. They were still in school. One was getting ready to go to college, and she decided she should stay. And she lost her job because of the closing when she could have retired, and there were more benefits that way. So, I mean, there were a lot of stories like that. Other people that, you know, had young families, and they just didn't know, will I be able to go someplace else to work within the state system? You know, a lot of the employees had 15 and 20 years invested with the state. And then there was the concern about some of them, a lot of the staff in the hospital, because they were under union contracts and that, they had bumping rights, meaning if they had more seniority in the state within a classification, they could bump somebody out of their position. But who knew where the bump was going to take them? I had a staff whose bump took her to Cairo. She lived in Pontiac, and she traveled back and forth after the hospital closed. I had another staff who lived in Brighton. His bump took him to Kalamazoo, and he drove back and forth from Kalamazoo to home every day. And this was the story of what happened with staff. And then, of course, the patients had all kinds of anxieties, because what's going to happen to me? Where am I going to go? Are they going to kick me out on the street? It was a very, very tough time as far as the morale was concerned. And then it was also demoralizing, because ever since the consent decree, in order to be able to get out of it, Northville had done so much work in developing new programs to address the needs of specific patient populations. And slowly you saw those being dismantled. And so it was very emotional.
Did they close other hospitals at the same time?
At the same time, no. But I can't remember how many state hospitals there used to be within the state. A lot. You know, like 11 or 15 or something like that. But
most had been closed in the 90s.
Right. That was under John Engler.
Right.
He was responsible for...
Pontiac closed.
Clinton Valley Center closed. Traverse City closed. Ypsilanti closed.
Saline.
Yeah, there was a...
They closed and they finally turned it down in 2006, I think.
Yeah.
That's part of the talk I used to give. I still can't give anywhere. I can't remember off the top of my head right now.
But I know at Northville... And then after Northville closed, Walter Reuther Hospital became a melting pot. I mean, there were staff, when Northville closed, there were staff there who had been through two and three closings of hospitals, and now they were facing another one. It was really bad.
So to clarify, you were there until... It closed.
Right.
And then you transferred to someplace else.
Right. Because of that big retirement that they had, that was my saving grace, because both the director and the assistant director of the activity therapy department at Walter Reuther had retired. And so they transferred me over there. And I left in the middle of February. The last patients, I think, came out of Northville May 3rd or 2nd, something like that. They brought me over there early so I could help expand the department that was there, because Walter Reuther received 100 patients from Northville.
So you went to Reuther when?
February of 2003.
And then you retired from there?
I retired from there. At the end of June of 2018.
Oh, you're a new retiree.
I'm fairly new. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's a year and a half already.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying it.
And Reuther is still going?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There were about 100 patients, and there were about 100 staff from Northville that went to Reuther, which helped the transition for those patients mm-hmm. that went over there, because they saw familiar faces. It was also, Reuther had been a geriatric facility, mm-hmm. and now they were getting this influx of patients mm-hmm. as young as 18. It was a rude awakening for them, because they saw different behaviors mm-hmm. than they were accustomed to with their population. And so it was helpful that we had some seasoned Northville staff coming over, because they could help with the transition of the patients to the new facility, but also the transition of the staff.